They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? At work, in social settings, around your family? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self, so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility, with digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Feeling kind of mean.
History tonight, the first father-son duo to play together in an NBA game. This is all in the family. And what a celebration for the James family. Ronnie's brother and sister, his mom on hand.
And there you go. LeBron James got his moment in LA last night. How you doing, everybody? Welcome aboard Thursday, October 24, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Opening night, Bronny with his dad on the court on the Los Angeles Lakers. Pretty incredible stuff in the big picture of things. However, this is what LeBron James said he wanted to do for about 8 years now. Well, more like six or so. As soon as Bronny became a freshman in high school and showed some promise as a basketball player, LeBron said, I want to play with my son in the NBA. Wouldn't that be cool? And he made it happen. So full credit in that regard. Sure. It took a second round courtesy pick by the Lakers to do so. A guaranteed $5 million deal, which was pretty much unprecedented for LeBron's kid. And a prime second quarter appearance last night where he promptly went 0 for 2 in about 2.5 minutes a run while recording an anchor-like -5 in plus minus. But good for LeBron. Obviously meant a lot for him, and he made it happen. Like any high achiever, high achievers make things happen by focus, by brute force, by having no shame in doing what is necessary to make something happen. And as long as what you're doing is not unethical or illegal or coming at the expense of somebody else, if it's just a touch shameless, which is what I think this was, then hey, what can you do? That's what it often takes to do big things. I don't know how anyone can feel super great about it. Of course, you had Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Sr. in attendance for a bonus photo op as another famous father-son who once played together in a professional league. The only difference is, well, the kid was the LeBron of baseball when he was drafted 1-1 at age 19. Or was it even younger than that? I mean, that's how good Ken Griffey Jr. was. He was the LeBron of baseball, and when he came in as the 1-1, not a courtesy second-round pick in which they had to tell other teams, don't take him. Do not take him. Because I believe someone said in a podcast that Golden State was ready to take him as a ready to take Bronny as a hostage pick of sorts and make the Lakers trade for him. Wouldn't that have been a doozy? They instead said, nah, we're not going to be dicks about this because we know what's going on here. The difference is Ken Griffey Jr. came in screaming hot as the 1-1 at 19 years old and then immediately started fucking shit up with his bat. In fact, Jr. was hitting .327 and knocking in 100 runs a year before he could legally drink. I'd forgotten his actual batting average numbers back when he was a precocious young player. Bronny belongs at best not on the Lakers, but on the Fort Wayne Mad Ants or the Capital City Go-Go in the G League. And maybe he'll spend some time down there. His contract could easily be a two-way contract that allows for that kind of movement. He could use the playing time and minutes to get better, but most basketball people, at least the ones I talk to and the one I host a show with, say it's just never going to happen. He's not NBA caliber. He looks quite small. He looks like the kind of guy that if you said to somebody who didn't know anything about anything, hey, there's one guy on the court here who's the son of one of the players and really should not have been drafted and definitely should not be on the team and definitely shouldn't be getting minutes on opening night. Which one is it? You'd probably go, number 9. Am I right? Yeah, how'd you know? Because I have eyes. So we'll see what happens to Bronny's career. Like most of LeBron-related things, I don't hate it. It just leaves me, well, unmoved. After all, he's the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, and he's never done anything for me as a fan that makes me go, damn, LeBron, yeah. He was destined to be great from high school. That's why the cover of SI with the Chosen One on it and the King in his tattoo on his back, or maybe he had the Chosen One and tattooed on his back as well, didn't faze him. Any idiot could see even back then, holy shit, this guy's going to be awesome at basketball. That's what I said. Andy Poland and I did a Comcast Sportsnet post-game show talking about a LeBron high school game once. I know, you're like, why would you do that? Because they said it'll be $200 to come on in. I'm like, giddy up, let's go. And He's done all that. He's been as great as he was destined to be. And that takes a lot. That I respect. Again, doesn't move me, doesn't inspire me. I'm not a fan, but as Borat would say, booyakasha, respect. The problem to me is that most things LeBron does are cringy and fake. Look what it took for Bronny to get on the Lakers, a well-timed opt-out for LeBron and his deal as a threat. His son coming back from a heart attack to resume playing, which I don't know his medical situation. They say he's fine, but I don't know. Implied warnings to other teams not to pick him. And then, of course, Bronny giving up 2 years of eligibility at USC to get better, which he could have because, look, the old man, even though he's a marvel at nearly 40, eventually he'll start to slip. So this had to happen, and it had to happen now. And you know what? It's fine because the league fills benches to 12 guys deep, and no teams almost ever play more than 8 guys meaningfully on a given night. And after all, Giannis has had his brother on the Bucks for like 6 years, and Thanasis, God bless him, he's good for one thing and one thing only. He comes pre-installed with 6 fouls. And when the game is out of hand, Thanasis, get in there. But this is LeBron. He's got a knack of doing things that are perfectly fine or even good, but doing them in a bad or ham-handed way, which is what I felt this was. I mean, remember the decision? Where is he going to go? Announcing he's taking his talents to South Beach. It was supposed to benefit the boys and girls clubs through some sort of, they raised some money somehow through that dog and pony show with Jim Gray. And I say supposedly, I'm just going to assume they did fork some money over. And you say to yourself, okay, how can you rip the guy? He's benefiting charity. Well, it really wasn't about the Boys and Girls Clubs. It was about him and the attention. His school he opened, the I Promise School. Great idea. Bad execution. Recent audits show that not a single student there has been testing at minimum proficiency in just about any subject. Now, look, I ain't never run a school, and it's hard. And the I Promise School does take on the hardest of hard cases of kids who are really, really struggling and come from bad, bad neighborhoods and families. So there's that. But I'm not a hater. I mean, every dad wants a chance to play with their kid in sports, their son, especially if they could make it happen. And the fact that LeBron was a billionaire snowplow dad, well, it's just a matter of the zeros in his net worth versus that of a accounts receivable manager at Costco or something. In fact, I once told my bride, before we were married, that my dream was to someday buy a house with enough land to put a backyard full-size court in, have 4 boys, and then run the neighborhood with the Zabin boys and the crazy old man. Told her that. Life had different plans, and that's fine. Had 2 daughters. I love them to the moon and back. But don't kid yourself. This is pretty much every guy's dream that plays sports or loves sports. And it also needs to be said on a larger societal note, we cannot discount how powerful of an example LeBron is setting for other black men, where currently 70% of black children are born to single mothers. And I would argue that probably 70% of the league's black players come from such tough upbringings. So LeBron's moment, if nothing else, cringy, forced, snowplow dad, PR stunt, call it what you want. If nothing else, it said, hey, be a man, be a father, raise your sons and daughters. And I think for that, nobody could or should be mad. Quick break, then Mr. X and the weekly steam check on the football gambling front. You are listening to the Zabecast. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a 5-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? At work, in social settings, around your family? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self, so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I do love it when Mr. X texts me randomly during a football Sunday with things such as, "What on earth are the Raiders doing right now?" And I may not be watching the Raiders or whomever it is he's speaking of, but somewhere I know somebody is getting fucked on the point spread because of idiot coaches. Is that fair to say, Mr. X?
Well, I'm a little bit better than that. I won because of their stupidity, but that doesn't make it any less stupid.
Okay, for that story, let's go to the internet for those who might have missed it. Your final score in Los Angeles last Sunday between the Rams and the Raiders was Rams 20, Raiders 15. That's a 5-point margin, and the spread was?
7.
7. Now, the Rams were up 20-12.
Okay.
This is where we pick up Nerdy Nerdlinger, who defends this decision on YouTube. Here we go.
All right. Antonio Pierce catching some criticism in the Rams-Raiders game as this is the situation. I'm going to pause it right here to set the stage. It's a fourth down and goal. The Raiders are at their opponent's 4-yard line, down 8 points, with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left. The Raiders have all 3 timeouts. First, there is going to be a penalty. So that pushes them back 5 yards to the 9-yard line. And then,
first of all, this guy sounds like a total nerd, Mr. X.
Oh, Jackson, God, he's lost me already.
Jackson Kruger Sports, but the nerd has 150,000 subscribers on YouTube, so right. I don't know. He's doing something not half bad.
And okay. Antonio Pierce is going to make a decision that a lot of people disagree with. He's going to elect for a field goal right here to try and make it a 5-point game. I saw this tweet from Warren Sharp, which kind of sums up what I saw a lot of people saying, which is losing by 8 with 2:50 to go in the fourth, in need of a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, on fourth down and goal at the 9, the Raiders kick a field goal and now still need to score a touchdown, and then, you know, criticizing Antonio Pierce. But of course, there is a legitimate benefit to kicking the field goal here.
Okay, I'll stop it right there. The floor is yours.
Oh, okay, well, let's put it this way. You know, I had the Raiders plus 7. They got first and goal on the 4. Okay, you know, score. I don't care if you make the 2, miss the 2. I don't care. And then when they get to fourth down, I'm thinking, okay, I've got one more shot. Holy crap, they're going to kick the field goal and let me cover? Thank you.
Right.
I think it might have been the only game I got right all day.
Right.
But the point there is, hello, this is the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady playoff game. Remember? This is the exact same thing the Packers had when Rodgers lost Brady, and Rodgers had fourth and goal with 2 minutes to go, down 8, and they kicked the field goal and talked analytics all winter and spring because they kicked the field goal, cut it to 5,
never got the ball back.
Ball again and go home.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing. And I'm like, stop with these analytics. You know what? I would rather have 2 chances to tie the game then one chance to win the game.
Right. Well,
that's what they don't get.
What you choose to do by kicking the field goal is you choose to leave 2 hard things left on your to-do list. Hard thing number 1 is stop them. Hard thing number 2 is score a touchdown.
Yeah.
If you go for it on, you know, 4th and 9, there's a hard thing and a coin flip. The hard thing is a touchdown on 4th and goal at the 9. And the 2-point conversion historically is 50-50. Our favorite percentage split, right, Mr. X?
Sure.
About 50-50. Now, here's the secondary concern or consideration. Let's not call it a concern. Here's the secondary consideration of the outcomes of both choices. If you kick the field goal like the Raiders did, you put the other team only up 5 in an aggressive stance because now they're in peril. They can't just go run, 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 punt. That's what you want them to do. Now, I didn't see how the game ended. What did the Rams do when they got the ball back? I assume they got a first down.
Raiders. Yes. Ran 3 plays, first down, kneel down, game over.
Right. So they got it. They put the oomph in it to get a first down. Was it shitty defense by the Raiders, or did the Rams throw in any of those 3 plays?
It was the Raiders with the ball. Oh, no. I'm saying it backwards. You got it right.
Yes.
You got it right.
Okay.
Rams.
Did the Rams throw the ball in their.
Didn't need to.
Okay. All right. Fine. So if you don't convert on 4th and 9, then the Rams are in a passive stance because they think, well, we're up 8. We can just run, 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 punt, make the Raiders burn their timeouts, and then they still have to score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, and even if they do, we're still not dead. We've got overtime. And teams play to either a conservative or an aggressive stance based on the situation. That doesn't make Antonio Pierce right, but I do see that as being why maybe he looks at it like, I want to put them on edge and put them in peril by getting within a touchdown of losing.
Yeah.
Does that have any merit to you?
But I think there's a – I remember us debating this when it was Brady and Rodgers. And what I said that's missing in the analytics is this. You go on fourth and goal and don't convert. And now the Rams have the ball inside their own 10. And that all that same, hey, we need to stop them and get it back. What do you do on offense inside your own 10? You do one thing. Try not to screw up.
Right.
Because you're in your shadow of your goalpost, and you are likely going to run three and punt to midfield.
Right.
However, you kick that field goal, and now you kick off, and now they're starting on the 30. They can play action. They can run. They have so many choices on the 30 that you don't have on the 8.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is wrong. I would rather go for the touchdown, and if I miss, I can hold you three and out inside the 10, and then have one more prayer from midfield. I will take that every time.
Right.
However, I'll take the cover. God, it was a gift.
Well, one thing that you and I and every gambler in America is very good at is the same thing that our dogs are good at as pets, and that is pattern recognition. Sure. I don't know. I mean, you've got a German Shepherd. Kobe! So German Shepherds are extremely smart, so they're not like most dogs. But I know this, our dog, Tucker, he recognizes patterns, which is when I get back from lunch usually, and I come into the house and go right to the bathroom to take a piss, because I'm 56 years old with, you know, an enlarged prostate, and then I get out of the bathroom, he knows, pattern recognition-wise, probably time to get fed. So he then makes a sprint to the mud room to beg for food and usually gets it. And he's usually right. But he gets the pattern recognition of my master walks this way with this speed at this time and I get food, right? And we're good as sports fans and as bettors at pattern recognition about how most games go. So, for example, when the Texans took what they thought was a very strong position against the Packers inside the 20 with a chance to kick a field goal to go ahead by 2, they thought, we're good. Even though there was almost 2 minutes left and the Packers, miracle of miracles, Matt LaFleur kept all three of his timeouts dry, which was a huge tactical advantage. What did the Texans do once they had secured the chance to go ahead? Run, field goal, because they became obsessed with making the Packers burn timeouts under 2 minutes. Well, guess what?
Yep.
They ran it backwards for minus 5 yards and then threw on third down out of bounds. Whoops. They kicked the field goal to go up with about a minute 40 to go or something like that. And I, at that point, tweeted, I like our chances.
Sure.
And what I think coaches need to do is stop and think, okay, what happens if we go, what happens if we give this team a minute 30? The best we can do if we just run, kick, and the other team has no timeouts, they're still going to have a minute 30 to go 50 yards at most to get into field goal position to beat us. A minute 30 with all the soft timeouts that exist, incompletions, penalties, running out of bounds. That's way too long. So in other words, they had to stay aggressive in that moment, even though the general consensus amongst most coaches is, okay, just don't make any sharp moves. We're in good position here. No, you are not in a strong position because you are going to leave the Packers with a minute 30 pretty much no matter what.
Yeah, you want one first down and a walk-off field goal.
Exactly. Exactly. They needed to say, we need a first down here. We need, well, they needed more than the first down. They needed a first down on third down. They couldn't just get a first down on first down because then the Packers still have three timeouts.
Right.
But they really should have tried to go for a touchdown. But, you know, coaches tend to be risk-averse, and it ended up biting them. So
I think there's a theme in there that's very common when you always hear them say, well, you can do this, fill in the blank, And then if we stop them three and out, we have a chance. Fine. But what I always say, like in the Raiders game, is if you can kick off and stop them three and out, you know, in the first down, then that's – why don't you go for the touchdown from the nine-yard line? And then if you don't work, stop them.
Stop, right. If you need a stop either way –
yeah, I'd rather try to stop you on your own nine than stop you out in your midfield where, you know, you're punting. It doesn't work. I don't want the ball in on the 8 or 9 yard line thinking I need a first down. I want it out on the 30.
Right. If you need if you need a stop, then you should go for it on fourth and anything short of, say, 12 maybe. They have they have charts on what's, you know, the conversion percentages, and it goes down greatly once you get up to that range. Fourth and nine is not a good conversion, but it's not disastrous. It's not unthinkable. I would have gone for it there. But, you know, these are things that coaches are slowly, only through the haranguing of those of us who gamble and on the internet are finally dragging them around to understanding. We're getting close to the point where most coaches understand two things. One, defer the coin toss if you win. Always, always do that. Secondly, is keep those three timeouts in the second half dry until the last 3 minutes at a minimum.
Oh God, yes.
Those are tactical, biblical commandments to me from a strategy standpoint, chiseled in stone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take the 5 yards every time.
Fuck
what's
yeah.
5 yards? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's third and 10, not third and five.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. Also, Also remember this. You know, you're playing defense, try to stop a team. You forget how many whammies exist for the defense that don't exist for the offense. Roughing the passer penalties. Whammy. Pass interference. Whammy. Huge 15-yard chunks that are exclusively the whim of the referees who are afraid of getting marked down by the league office because, well, you touched Mahomes' helmet and you didn't throw a flag.
Oh, and the worst is the third and 20 illegal contact, five and a first down. That,
right, exactly. You work your ass off in first and second down to get a team way behind the sticks, and then there is an automatic first down penalty. Good grief. Okay, that said, let's quickly talk baseball before we get to our picks this week and how did the favorites and the underdogs do last week. There is a lumber infusion that has finally come this week. Three lines of 10 or more points. First time all year. The lumber is in, Mr. X. It's come in to the lumber yard. If you want to take it, that's a whole different story. But let's talk baseball. They got what they wanted. They got what they wanted, the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Well, what baseball needed desperately was Ohtani playing the Yankees in late October. You know, I mean, we went through 20 years of Mike Trout's the best player, and we never saw him after September. And now we have Ohtani, you know, with the Angels. So now we have, you know, the casual baseball fan can now watch the World Series and see that, quote, Ohtani guy playing the Yankees, and they needed that desperately.
Yeah. Well, who do you like in the series? Who's favored, by the way?
The Dodgers are only a slight favorite. We took, you know, we took the Dodgers to win the series after the Padre win, because I told everybody, take them now at a plus odds because they'll beat the Mets easy and then be a minus odds. So we have them, we've had them for only two rounds. But of course, as I said, I think on the show at the start, you know, we took the Astros to play the Padres and got it completely wrong because, as I said, the two best teams in this format never make it, like the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Right. Well, it didn't hurt that the Yankees got dealt some low cards to play against in their opponents, the Royals and the Guardians. Not saying that they weren't decent clubs, but they were kind of pop-up clubs this year, right?
Well, the AL was pretty weak overall this year. The only really decent team in their path was the Astros, who choked in the first round. I thought the Astros could take them. The AL was weak. I mean, what, probably five of the top seven teams are all in the NL anyway. So the Dodgers had a tough path, but they're there. They have no pitching left. So they're only slightly favored, like maybe minus 130 in the series. So it actually should be a good series. And Ohtani finally, it's been years since baseball can sit there and throw their best player on the biggest stage, and now right. They got what they needed.
Right. Also, someone made a point that Dave Roberts was smart to not chase games that got out of hand early and just kind of ran out big losses in the series against the Mets, because he knew he didn't have the arms to try to, you know, mount some great comeback. He had to kind of flush a couple of games in that series.
Yeah, you could say that's smart, and I'll give him that. By the same token, the thinner you are, the more it doesn't look like you're chasing those, because their staff is pretty thin right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, are you looking forward to watching the series? Let me ask that.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. It's been a while since I've gotten to hate on the Yankees late in the year, so I'll do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to hate the Yankees, but then again, the fucking Dodgers pulled this accounting trick on Ohtani and the deferred money, where I think Ohtani's salary this year is like $1 million on the ledger for the Dodgers, which is bullshit, really.
Well, but given it's the only sport without a cap, it really doesn't have the same significance as all the restructuring does in the other sports.
What I need to know is, first of all, who owns the Dodgers? It's a good question right there. I don't know if it's one guy. Who owns the Dodgers? Mark Walter.
I was going to say Leo Farnsworth.
Okay. Well, Mark Walter, entrepreneur, investor, conservationist, social justice advocate, is part of a consortium called the Guggenheim Baseball Management, and he's the primary guy. Magic is a part owner. Peter Guber, movie producer. Stan Kasten is in there with some of his money, probably not a whole lot. But I just wonder, are they making money, the Dodgers?
Good question. By the way, only four of your listeners laughed when I said Leo Farnsworth. I just don't remember him. He was a Rams owner in the movie. But the question is, when I hear like Magic's a part owner or all these athletes that are part owners, are they really like writing any checks? Do those guys really cost them any money? Or are they just like, okay, you're a part owner and do all this work for us? Are they really like anteing up?
Good question. Leo Farnsworth is in the movie Heaven Can Wait, 1978, yes. Starring Warren Beatty and Julie Christie. And the movie is an American sports fantasy about a young man played by Beatty being mistakenly taken to heaven by his guardian angel, resulting in complications of how his mistake can be undone, given that his earthly body has been cremated.
That's Leo. Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Sorry, that popped into my head when you asked who owned him.
Yeah. Anyway, Joe Pendleton, the backup quarterback for the National Football League's LA Rams, is looking forward to leading his team to the Super Bowl while he's riding his bike through a tunnel, an overzealous guardian angel on his first assignment, known only as the escort, sees a large truck heading into the other end of the tunnel towards Joe. The escort plucks Joe out of his body early in the mistaken belief that Joe is about to be killed in order to save him from any suffering. So they plucked the quarterback of the Rams accidentally. Heaven Can Wait. It was actually a hit movie back in 78. Don't ask me why, but it was.
It was good. Okay.
Right. Okay. Let's talk Al Michaels and his coyness now when it comes to point spreads, when there's no need to be coy anymore.
One of your comments or listener comments last week hit home with me, and it's like, once we identify an annoying thing about any of these guys, Michaels, Aikman, anything,
they're ruined.
You can't stop hearing it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do it. Last year I wrote that X2 had told me that every pass Trevor Lawrence misses is overthrown. And like a week later, a guy's emailing like, oh my God, I can't stop seeing overthrows now. You just can't stop seeing it. So I know that we don't like Al Michaels, and I know it's old. But I was watching last week, and you know, in I'm off with time, but I swear he started Monday Night Football in like the late 80s. And back in the 1980s or 1990, it was like, well, it's not over for everybody. You know, you're 3 points from going over the total in a 38-2 game. And it was like, oh, you know, there's a few people that know what that means. Ha ha ha. Oh, my God. Every commercial is DraftKings, FanDuel, Caesars, MGM. And he's still using those coy little, if you know what I mean. Just say, clearly the Browns have covered, but the total, they need 3 to hit the over. Can't you just say that?
What's funny?
You have to keep making coy little statements like you're an insider.
I know.
When everybody watching the end of the game, when it's 38-6, is watching it to see if it goes over.
I know.
Can't you say that?
He could. What's funny, and I sort of embarrassed now thinking about it, was just how much I giggled and played the sound bites of Al Michaels and his sneaky gambling totals back in the day. I look back and go, God, that was embarrassing. I shouldn't have been so. I was like a schoolgirl tittling because the teacher said something that sounded a bit risque. Like, you know, we like kind of held, we put Al Michaels up there as like some kind of OG. Oh, Al Michaels gambles and he knows the point spread and he slipped in a sly reference. He's such a bad boy. Bad boy.
Oh, I'm in the club. I know what he means. Ha ha.
Right.
Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's over. So many things with Al Michaels is over. He calls a bad game by modern standards. The modern announcers.
I was watching a college football game late. I forget whatever the last game of the week was last week. And they were doing the same thing. And I'm like, it's 1 a.m. Everybody's up watching this game for a reason. Stop being coy and just say they need 6 more to hit the over. What? Why? When are we going to start doing that?
Yeah. That's a good question. They probably still get direction from the leagues to say we don't want any overt mentions of gambling, even though we're taking massive gambling money from MGM and Caesars and everyone else. But yeah.
We'd hate to say something that is like good for our sponsors.
Well, look, they're like the town slut that wants to pretend she's a virgin. Everyone knows she ain't. But she wants to pretend it. You know, that's why they wear white at their wedding, no matter how many men they've been with. All right.
I hadn't thought of that analogy, but okay.
Okay. Point three, winning lucky versus just plain winning.
Oh, well, I was thinking about like last week's Thursday night game. And just the point that it's easy to say like a win is a win. Or a loss is a loss. You know, when you go to the window, you either cash the ticket or you don't. But if you're a gambler, that's not really true. You want your wins to be easy, not lucky. You want to win easy. And when you lose, you want it to be lucky, if that makes sense. You want your wins to be like last week when Denver just destroyed the Saints. And you say, I was on the right side. If you lose a game at the gun, you lose a game at the gun. But when it goes to the last play, win or lose, you can't act like, oh, yeah, I was right, because you got a little bit lucky. And you can always say there's luck, but that's the difference. I was just thinking about last week's game that we picked. And if you're good at this, you want your wins easy and your losses tight, if that makes sense.
I guess. I'm beyond.
You're not like that. You just say a win's a win, a loss, and move on. But I don't.
You still want to feel good about your wins.
Well, I guess I feel this way. It tells me you know what you're doing. If everything comes down to the gun and it's a coin flip, I need something else to do. I don't need to flip.
That's the whole point. That's the entire point of gambling, is to show people you know what you're doing and you understand ball, as the saying goes. Denver beat New Orleans last week on Thursday Night Football 33-10. It was a Spencer Rattler versus Bo Nix showdown for the ages. People were sarcastically tweeting about how, now this is a proper Thursday Night Football shit show game. We had a couple of real good games the last previous 2 weeks, and it's like, what's this quality meat doing on a Thursday night? This isn't the TNF I'm used to.
Well, when you take Denver minus, that's a good game. So
yeah, no, that one wired. You are definitely on the right side all the way on that. So with that said, let's get to point number four, and then we'll get to last week.
Okay.
Brutal Whiskey League. As I get chopped, you lost Godwin in both your leagues, and you think you're now toast.
Pretty much. That was a brutal week. I know you got chopped, and you had a good team, but everybody seemed to either be hurt or on a bye.
I had a great team on paper, but I ran a suicide squeeze where the batter does not get the bat on the ball for the bunt, and you're like, oh, shit, because CeeDee Lamb was on a bye. I didn't account for that. Alvin Kamara had a complete shit game. Cooper Kupp was not yet ready to come back. And Davante Adams had all of three catches. So my great team on paper shit the bed. Oh, and then C.J. Stroud, a reliable starting quarterback against a Packer defense I didn't think was that good, gets held to 86 yards and no touchdowns. That's tough. Good night now.
Yeah. So I did that on Monday night because we had the Godwin prop over, and somehow Tampa had the ball for like the last 5 minutes over and over and over, and they finally start throwing to him. And they hit him for the catch to go over. And I'm like, yes. Oh, shit, he's not getting up. He's not getting up. That was a gruesome injury at the end of the game.
Yeah. All right, let's get to last week. Favorites, how did they do last week?
Well, last week the favorites did well again, even though they went 8-6 against the spread, and they won 10 out of 14 money line. So another week that the public did pretty well, and that's never good for me.
Yeah, two straight public weeks, they say, in the NFL.
Yeah, I showed the public going 5-2 the way I track it, which is really good for them.
Yeah,
the overs finally cooled off at least a little. They went 5-9, but yeah, it's like if it wasn't for the Raiders' crazy cover, I'd had a very bad Sunday.
And we have no bye weeks this week, which is interesting. I would have to go back and look historically as to whether or not this has happened before. My recollection of bye weeks is that once they start, they continue with at least two teams on a bye until the bye weeks are over.
I actually think you're wrong on that.
Okay, that I could well be wrong.
The same thing you're wondering now, like, wait, how come everyone's playing? But it usually only happens like once. Yeah, I mean, why do you have two teams off 1 week and six or eight the next? I've never quite figured out why they can't be a little more systematic in the concept of those of us that want to watch X number of games each week.
Yeah.
I don't know why it seems to be. There's got to be something, but it sure seems to be quite random.
Well, the schedule-making process has been chronicled by ESPN before and other writers, and it's incredibly complex. It used to be done by hand by, this mathematician and his brilliant wife that the NFL would, lean on to go, okay, we need you to make a schedule. We need you to make sure don't do this, but do that. Don't do this, but do that. Now it's a lot computer-driven. They're dealing with international games that give teams the chance – if they want to take a bye when they come back from overseas. But you don't have to, because the Jaguars are coming home from London. They were there for 2 weeks, and they're playing straight through. They'll be playing the Packers. I'll be in Jacksonville, oh, by the way, for that game in person. Yay.
Why?
Me. Because I was able to, because it's the Packers, number one. Number two, I have a good friend who got me tickets. And me and a couple of buddies, and it's a good time to go south and play golf for a day on a Saturday before the Jaguar game, and I get to see, Everbank Stadium. Exciting and, that and it is.
You know what you're going to see this week for the first time ever?
What?
Every miss by Trevor Lawrence will be an over.
Okay. All right. We'll have a drinking game on that. If Trevor Lawrence overthrows somebody, drink.
Good luck with that.
Make sure to have 911 already dialed 9-1 with your finger over the 1, because you're going to be passed out.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So let's pick this game this week. Vikings at the Rams. And as we tape this on Wednesday night, Cooper Kupp is still a Ram, but he is being shopped aggressively, which is fascinating to me. But okay, I get it. He's owed a lot of money. He's increasingly injured. And maybe they've gotten the best out of Cooper Kupp they could get. Or they think they've got enough in Puka Nacua once he's back fully healthy.
Yeah, you know, I really didn't. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know. I just feel like the league is too tight. This isn't baseball. 2-4. The Rams, you know, every
they shouldn't
game
be sellers at 2-4. Not with their injuries, in my opinion.
No, I mean, they beat the Niners, and all four losses are by 6 points or less. I know a loss is a loss, but this is not the Panthers.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they've been unhealthy, and they keep losing by 3-4 points. How do you quit in 2-4? I don't.
Yeah. Well, the Vikings are favored by 3. Vikings coming off their loss to the Lions last week. They were pretty soundly beaten, even though they kind of made it close at the end. Of course, the Lions got a game-winning field goal from this kid who's going to be a brick salesman. The Vikings are still pretty good. They did get Aaron Jones back. Short week. They're at home. Rams, God. I feel like if I take the Vikings, I'm Johnny Square play. But I have taken the Rams multiple times this year and been let down. So call me the abused girlfriend here. I can't take the Rams again. I'll take the Vikings minus.
Well, and I knew you'd do that, and that's good. And about 80% of the people are going, wait, the Vikings are 5-1.
And they're only favored by 3. Right.
They're favored by 3. It's been fiddling between 2.5 and 3 all week.
Sounds like easy money.
I don't know why it's so low. It is in L.A., and the Rams have played everyone tight. I'm on the Rams plus that 3.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm against you again.
That's fine. And the total is 48. Life's too short to bet the unders, and I've been burned the last couple of unders, so fuck it. I'm going over. Home team and the over, which is the squarest of square plays. But let it be noted, those square plays sometimes do come home.
Well, except the Vikes are on the road. You said the Vikes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Over. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got that back.
Favorite in the over is the yes. Typical square. I'll give you that. Right. But, yeah, well, last week I missed the total on that. Like it was easily going under. And then, what, 2 TDs in the last minute and a half or so. And that was my first total loss for the year. Right. So I'm 5-1-1.
Hold on a second. I'm sitting here staring at the Vikings-Rams graphic and the preview on CBS Sports, and I misread it as Vikings at home for some dumbass fucking reason. Okay. Must be my senior brain. You know what? No, I'm off the Vikings. I'm with you on the Rams. Sorry to queer your bet, but I'm on the other side. That does make a huge difference. I believe the Vikings have a pretty good home field advantage.
And I just hit submit. No, okay, good.
So I'm getting off the Vikings. Still take the over, though.
Yeah, I will take. Wait a minute, you've lost me now. You said still take the Vikings.
No, I'm still taking the over, but I'm taking the Rams and the over.
Gotcha.
Rams and the over because I'm a fucking idiot that can't get the basics right about who's home and who's away, which kind of matters a little bit in the NFL.
Okay, I'm taking the Rams plus the 3 at home because it's the short week. And how about your week after the Lions phenomena? The Vikings are on a short week after a tough game with Detroit.
The Lions beat
and
people
traveling.
Up. Yeah.
And I thought we'd see a big game tomorrow from Kupp, who's back. You've got a good point about if they were going to dish him, why did they activate him today? Right. You know, something doesn't make sense there. I think they're going to showcase him. He's going to have a big game, and we'll worry about later. But I'm sticking on the under. That's a little too high. And my prop for the week, by the way, last week I gave you the Denver receiver, Vele. To go over 21 yards. He caught one ball for 20. So that dropped me to 4-2 on the props. But this week, I'm going to take Kyren Williams over 17 and a half carries. I think they're going to run the ball a lot on the Vikings, and I'll just go with that.
Okay. For more, you can go to callmemrx.com and get his full suite of services, if you will. Follow Mr. X on Twitter at @justcallmemrx. As always, bet with your head, not over it, Furio. Winning is nice, but getting paid is even nicer, Mr. X. And only bet as much as you can afford to win. Probably X2, X3, or X4 once said that.
Oh, no, that was me long before they were born.
All right, we'll see you next week, Mr. X. Thank you.
All right, bye.
See you. Let me finish on a little tech story for you. And it's one of these stories where I'm just going to read the headline. I don't need to go any further. Headline: Apple might wind down their Vision Pro production next month due to, quote, weak demand. You don't say. This is going to end up being one of the biggest Apple flops, technology-wise, to the Apple Newton. Remember those? A personal digital assistant, a PDA, from a far bygone era that, you know, at the time you thought, this is a good idea. Let's give it a go. And then it turned out to suck. Apparently, and I've never put on a headset of the Apple Vision Pro, apparently it's spectacular in terms of what's available now in terms of a wearable headset with augmented or virtual reality. But it comes with problems. You need to have the big, thick battery pack that attached to it and would put in your pocket. I mean, it's a big brick that goes with it. And the headset itself, even without the brick, reportedly very heavy and very clunky. And then there's the whole fact that if you're sitting there with those goggles on, you look stupid as hell. So where are you going to wear them? You could wear them out and then you know, press a button and it sort of makes the goggles transparent so you can see people around you. But I mean, come on, who would really be seen out in public with that? So it was a tech idea that they had to try to develop. They gave it their best go. They made it pretty cool. They thought people might flock to it and go, oh, this would be great to do this or that. And they had applications for it and they had concepts of what to do with it. And it looks like they're just going to pretty much call it a day, which, look, nobody wants to, you know, flush, I don't know how many millions, hundreds of millions of dollars they put into the development of the project, but it's better than sending more good money after the bad to try to make Apple Vision Pro 2 a thing. So if you see one that is listed in good condition for a cheap enough price on eBay, let me know. Maybe if it's cheap enough, I'll buy it. Certainly not the, what was it, $3,000, $4,000 it cost for a new one. I'd say my price point on that sucker would be, $699. No, under $500. Under $500, I'm in. Otherwise, nah. Thoughts and prayers to the Apple Vision Pro. May you rest in peace. Although it's not dead yet. It's not dead yet, but it's in hospice care and it's not doing well. That's enough for me today. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, recommend to a friend if you don't mind. It helps the podcast grow. It tickles the algorithmic overlords. And remember, you can subscribe to another day of me. Fridays, the best day of the week. Ad-free. The OGs, Scott and Solly, and during football season, what do? We say, you are looking live, and we make our football picks for the NFL week. With all the requisite snark and sound bites and refs and announcers, it is a 20 to 25 minute joyride every week through the NFL slate. It's become appointment listening, and it's only available to subscribers. So for a mere $5 a month, cancel anytime, you can be a part of the true 1%ers on Zabecast Nation. Just go to zabe.com/premium to find out how to subscribe. And if that still thwarts you, just email me, zabe@yahoo.com. I'll point you in the right direction so I can rob your wallet of $5 a month. Or less if you buy a year at a time. All right, that's enough pushing for me. Have a great Friday and great weekend, everybody. I'm off to Jacksonville, Florida. Duval! Packers and Jaguars, here I come. Full report coming up on Monday on the podcast. But I'll see you subscribers tomorrow for the Friday edition of You Are Looking Live. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Have a nice day. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamond South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC Diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.